First, want to say that I appreciate very much John's prayer this evening, specifically where he prayed for this world. And it really goes along with my lesson tonight that I want to present on mind pollution. And definitely, as he said, this world seems to be out of control in a lot of different areas. Specifically, I want to talk about a few areas tonight where I believe there's a great problem in our society. In Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 12, we see that the things that I'm going to speak about tonight, it says there in verse 12 that it is shameful even to speak of these things that are done in secret. And we'll come back to Ephesians and examine that passage later on in the lesson. But the things I speak tonight, it's even shameful that I have to stand up here and speak about them. But they are a great problem in our society, and we need to talk about them. I was shocked when I began to prepare this lesson. I was shocked by two things. First of all, I was shocked by the information that I found, which I'm going to present that information to you tonight. But I also was shocked of the amount of scriptures that are in the Word of God on the subject that we're going to talk about tonight. So before we begin, I just want you to think about this. I want us to start to think about what we think about from day to day, from minute to minute, from hour to hour. And I want to challenge all of us to bring into our conscious mind the thoughts that we have from day to day throughout time. And as we think about the pollution that can fill our minds in this society, there are, I believe, many sources of that mind pollution. And I've tried to lay out a diagram, and I'm going to walk through this and explain it as best I can. But when we think about sources of mind pollution, Satan is the source of that. We see in John chapter 8, there in verse 44, it says there, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." So we need to understand the pollution that is in our minds, or we can let into our minds in this world, in this society, it comes from Satan. And that causes us to be influenced by the things of the world. John chapter 7, in verse 7, it says, "The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify of it, its works are evil." So we see there that the works of this world, when Satan pollutes our mind, we're influenced by those worldly things, which is described there in John chapter 7, as evil things. And when we're influenced by that, that's when our mind becomes polluted by those worldly things. In 1 John chapter 2, there's a warning there, and starting in verse 15. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world." So again, that backs us up to Satan brings us these worldly influences, and then we allow them to pollute our mind. And those pollutions in our mind leads us to thoughts and then to actions. In Matthew chapter 15, starting there in verse 18, following this thought again, it says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man." So we see this process here of Satan bringing in the worldly influences, and our minds are polluted by those things. And those pollutions in our mind leads us to specific thoughts that we have, and those thoughts then lead to actions in our life. And as we've read in the scripture, these things lead to evil actions. These things lead to sinful actions if we allow our mind to be polluted by what Satan and what the society is telling us. So I think there are some key principles that we need to remember as we think about how our mind can be polluted. The first one is that we can become desensitized. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, we read this verse this morning in my sermon this morning. It says again, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today." I want to focus tonight on the last part of that verse. It says, "Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." You know, that verse tells us a lot of things about sin, doesn't it? First thing is that we can be hardened. Our hearts can be hardened. Well, what does that mean? It means that we can get to a point where sin, things that we allow into our minds, things that we see, things that we do, no longer affect us. They no longer bother our conscience in any way. And we become hardened to that. And that's a problem if that begins to happen. So we need to remember that the things that we allow into our mind, the things we allow to pollute our mind from Satan, can cause us to become desensitized to other things or even to that sin. And it can continue to grow. The second principle I think that we need to remember is our eyes are windows to our hearts. Two verses specifically that I want to look at is, first of all, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28. Where it says there, "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." That tells me that our eyes, again, our windows, it tells us and eventually the people around us what is really in our heart. And if we look and lust after a woman, or for a woman if they lust after a man, it tells, again, it's a window to what's in their hearts. More specifically, in Matthew chapter 6, there in verse 22 and 23, if you'll turn over one chapter, it says there, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Wow. When I was studying, I didn't remember that verse. But when I read it and looked at it, it emphasizes there again, our eyes are what affects our entire body, what affects our entire life, what we allow our eyes to see, what we allow into our mind, into our hearts. It's either going to be light or it's going to be darkness. But understanding our eyes are the windows to our hearts. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, Philippians 4 and verse 8, we see there that what goes into the heart comes out. Because it says there, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things." You know, what we allow into our hearts, often through our eyes or our ears, those things are going to eventually come out. So what goes into our heart usually determines what our actions are later on in life. Another principle that we really need to understand is that evil can oftentimes appear good. Isaiah, in Isaiah the 5th chapter, in verse 20, can't say this any clearer, I don't believe. He says there, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Isn't that what society does? Isn't that, if we back up to the chart I had earlier, isn't that what Satan does? He makes evil appear good. Society makes evil appear good. He makes evil seem fun. He makes evil seem harmless. He makes it seem like if we partake in evil, we're going to be more popular, or we're going to have good things in life, or we're going to be successful. The devil always associates sin with good. He makes it appear to be something good and harmless. Keep that in your mind as we move through this lesson. So I think we can see from this that everyone, last principle, is everyone is tempted by their own desires. In James chapter 1, there's a warning here again. James chapter 1 and verse 14 and 15. "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death." See how that works? There's a pattern there. If we're drawn away by our own desires, and we allow things into our hearts, into our minds, then what happens there is that desire is eventually conceived, and that conception brings forth sin, and sin eventually is going to bring death, spiritual death. And that's how it works. We all know how that's how it works. So I think we see here from these principles, what we see and what we hear, what we allow our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our minds to process, that's what we think. That's what we tend to think. So as we saw in Philippians 4 and 8, we need to be meditating on good things. Because when we see and hear these things, and they turn into thoughts, our thoughts eventually, that we don't stop, will turn into actions. That's what the Scripture tells us. So I want to consider three things tonight that I feel like, especially in our society, are polluting our minds. And again, as I started this, it's shameful to even speak of these things. But we all need to understand how much of this is in our society. So I want to give you some statistics here as we move through some of these points. My first one is pornography. I want you to think about these as I read them. A pornographic film is produced every 30 minutes in our society. 30,000 people are viewing porn every second of the day. 42.7% of internet users view pornography. Almost half of all people that are on the internet view pornography. That's 102 million plus million people in our society viewing pornography. There are 4.2 million websites. And these statistics come from techaddiction.com. If you want to look those up to verify. Pornography industry is $14 billion industry. $14 billion industry. And that is, get ahead there, that is larger than the revenues of the top tech companies. Think about these companies. Microsoft, Google, Amazon, eBay, Yahoo, Apple, and Netflix. Think about how big those companies are in our society. The revenue from pornography is bigger. No, not than one. It's bigger than all of those combined. If you can even wrap your mind around that. All of those companies' revenue combined, this industry is bigger than all of them. There are 68 million daily pornographic search engine requests a day. That's 25% of all internet searches are pornographic. There are 2.5 billion daily pornographic emails that are sent daily. That's 8% of all emails sent in the United States. The average email user receives 4.5 pornographic emails per day. 70% of this activity occurs during the 9-to-5 workday. This one just blew me away. I hate to even read it because it's so sad. The average age of the first pornographic exposure is 11. 11 years old. 17% of women struggle with pornography. 200,000 Americans are porn addicts. Porn addict is defined by 11 hours or more per week. Here's the result of this. Let this sink in. Here's how it's affecting these people. 40% of those people lose their spouses. 58% of those people suffer financial loss. 33% of those people lose their jobs. You ready for this one? There's a 300% increase in marital infidelity among those people. Of all divorce cases, involve at least one person having an obsessive interest in pornography. And finally, you're twice as likely to have severe clinical depression if you fall in the above category. Mark Schwartz gives this quote, which I think is very accurate when we talk about this problem in our society. Pornography on the internet is like heroin. It grabs them and takes over their lives, and it's very difficult to treat because the people affected don't want to give it up. So what are the effects? We've seen the statistics. What are the effects of pornography? First of all, addiction. It causes addiction in people. We've already seen the statistics of how many people are addicted. It can lead to escalation. Escalation goes back to being, as we're going to talk later here, the next one is these two combined, an escalation and desensitization of our minds. When we see things, then it doesn't impact us. So we have to see something more severe. And then it continues and continues and continues to escalate, and we become desensitized to all that. And it doesn't affect us anymore. That's the result, the effects of pornography. Acting out sexually. Antisocial behaviors. These are all very serious effects of pornography in our society. Let's move on to another one. Television. Seems harmless, right? Here's the statistics I found on television. 75% of primetime TV includes sexual content. 75% of TV includes sexual content. 87% of movies that are out present sexual material. It's even hard to find a movie that you can go watch anymore, isn't it? The average American adolescent will view 14,000 sexual references per year on television. 64%, I miss, look, 75% of Americans say that the way television programs show sex encourages irresponsible behavior. 75% of Americans say that. 64% of TV shows include sexual content. But only 16 will mention anything about abstinence. That's alarming. But it's a description of society, isn't it? There's sexual content on TV every 4 minutes, if you break it down by minute. Every 4 minutes. 98% of the sexual content on TV, there's no indication at all of any physical consequences. 85%, there's no lasting emotional impact of those events that are shown on television. And 75% of the participants were unmarried. What's that tell society? Sexual content in prime time tripled in the last 10 years. And again, this one is just staggering to me. Teens aged 13 to 15 rank the entertainment media, television, as the top source of information about sexuality. That's where they get their information. Look at this. That's where they're getting their information about human sexuality. But what does 1 Corinthians chapter 7 tell us about this? Where should we really be getting our information about sexuality? The Word of God. It says there in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 2, "Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband." If we can just follow those commands in our society, just think how much society would change. So what are the effects of television? You know, television can be educational, it can be informational, it can be a wholesome entertainment. It can be used for spiritual things. But 75% of it is just filth. It's filth. The Proverbs writer in Proverbs 6:27 asked this question to us. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? He's not expecting us to answer that. It's a rhetorical question, isn't it? We know the answer to that. Let me pick on another industry now, the music industry. 83% of people said they listened to music often. They were able to name nearly 150 different music artists. Hard rock and medium rock were the most popular. 52% of people preferred that. Next is rap. 38%, second most popular, is rap music. And rap music has the most objectionable lyrics anywhere. Rap videos often promote drug use, violence, and sex. Evidence suggests that certain beats and sounds can influence our attitudes and our perceptions of things. And don't you think the music industry doesn't know what those beats and sounds and rhythms are? Many of the lyrics are immoral and sexually explicit. Many of the lyrics condone, promote, and even glorify sin. They exalt ungodly people. And they even influence our dress and our activities. I want you to think about this. Pornography, television, music, movies, internet, magazines, books, and I can go on and on. Things that we allow into our minds are used by Satan to pollute our minds. Tammy uses a statistic that, again, we just can't even believe it sometimes. But she uses a statistic in her speech class that the use of profanity is at an all-time high. And the average American, listen to this, the average American curses 70 to 80 times a day by research. That's even hard to believe. But that's our society. And you just think about that. Most people say, well, I don't curse that much. Have we ever thought about texting? You know, we've got many acronyms out there. Some of us use OMG or LMOA. And they use that all the time in their texting. And then they say, I don't curse just because I use an acronym, right? No, you're wrong. So let's think about it. Remember the key principles. Don't be desensitized to sin. Our eyes are windows to our hearts. Put good things into your hearts. We always have to be aware that evil can appear good, and that we are tempted by our own lust. So what do we do about this? What does the scripture tell us to do? First of all, I believe it tells us don't be ignorant, but take action. In Romans chapter 13, there in verse 14. This is a great command for us when we're trying to fight these pollutions in society. It says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. How do we keep these lusts out of our mind? How do we keep our mind from being polluted? This scripture says, don't make any provision for them. Don't put yourself in a situation where they can enter your mind. Because I read from this verse, if you allow that, the opposite, you will fulfill your lust, most likely. Luke chapter 11, in verse 24 through 26. This is an interesting passage because it says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. What that verse tells us, if we clean our mind up, if we clean all these pollutions out of our mind, we can't stop there. Because there's always going to be pressures from Satan. There's always going to be pressures from the people around us. There's always going to be pressure from the world to get those things back in your mind. But this verse says, if we leave our mind empty, they're just going to come back in. So what do we do? Once we clear our mind, once we get these things out of our lives, well, it goes back to Philippians 4:8, doesn't it? Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. That's what you fill your mind with to keep these other pollutions out of your mind. Scripture also tells us to flee evil. Flee. Get yourself out of that situation. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6, starting there in verse 18. This is a pretty direct command. Flee. Think about the connotation of flee. It doesn't mean walk away. It doesn't mean turn your head. Flee means to run. Flee means to get out of that situation. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Well, okay, I sin against my body. No, it's more than that. Verse 19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own. For you were bought at a price, and therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Our bodies belong to God. Our minds and our hearts belong to God. We need to flee evil. We also need to understand that exposure harms our thoughts, our words, and our actions. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. Thought it was interesting that, I'm not sure Wayne planned this, but did you notice that the basis of this verse was our song that we sung earlier, Purer in Heart? Notice in stanza 3 it says, keep me from secret sin. Yeah, that's what this verse is talking about. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And we need to understand that exposure to those pollutions is going to harm our thoughts. It's going to harm our words, and it's going to harm our actions, which means it's going to harm our lives here on this earth and eternally. And we need to remember what the Proverbs writer says in Proverbs 4:23, where he says there, keep your heart with all diligence. Why? Why do we have to be so diligent in keeping our mind pure? For out of it springs the issues of life. Well, I don't know about you, but that verse tells me it's a pretty important subject. So we need to think about all these things. So how can we turn mind pollution around on Satan? Here's how we do it. Let's change our earlier chart. First of all, it starts, instead of Satan, it starts with God in our lives. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. In our relationship with God should lead us to having good influences. Good influences on others. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So we should be good influences in society. People should see us different than others. And these good influences will bring us to the teachings of God, either teaching ourselves or teaching others. We find in John chapter 6, verse 44 and 45, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So if God is the basis, and we're a good influence to those around us, and we are able to teach others, the people are able to learn from us, that helps our thoughts from day to day. And it helps us turn our bad actions into good actions. In Romans chapter 6, verse 17, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. So even though you might be a slave of sin, your mind may be polluted, if you put God first and you start to be a good influence on others around you, you're going to teach them, you're going to teach yourself, you're going to teach yourself how to think again. And those good thoughts, those good influences are going to lead to good decisions in your life. And those good decisions are going to lead to eternal salvation. I want to finish by looking at a couple more verses. First in Ephesians chapter 5. If you all turn there with me. Ephesians chapter 5. I said I was going to go back here earlier on, and I want to complete the thought of the shameful things that we talked about tonight. Ephesians chapter 5, starting there in verse 1. Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, no covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ in God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of the disobedient. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of these things which are done by them in secret. But all things are exposed, that are exposed, are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. We see in Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah asks a very important question that I think we all need to consider tonight as we consider this subject. Jeremiah 8 and verse 12. Were they all ashamed? Were they all ashamed when they had committed abomination? The answer is no. No, they were not ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. In the time of their punishment, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. I think Jeremiah again asked us a very important question we need to think about tonight. And that is, do we blush? Do we hear these things? Do we look at these statistics? Do we see the things going on in society? Does it cause us to blush? Does it cause us to be embarrassed? Does it cause us to flee, run as fast as we can from those things? Going back to Ephesians chapter 5, all things are exposed. You know, the problem with some of these things is, as the verse says, they're done in secret. In our mind says, nobody's going to know about this, right? Nobody's going to know if I click on this website. Nobody's going to know what music I'm listening to. Nobody knows what TV show or what movie I'm watching. You're right. And that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I know or anybody else knows what you're watching. Because God knows. God sees it. He's right there with you. So again, I think society has a great problem, and I pray that we don't pollute our minds with these things. But if you have polluted your mind, you need to start to meditate on the things that we talked about in Philippians 4 and verse 8. Meditate on the good things. Start over. Start your life. Empty out those things. Empty out your house and fill it with those things that are good. And start fresh. If there's anybody that needs to do that or needs to put on Christ tonight, please do it as we stand and sing this invitation song.